Well, we're going to go to Israel and we're going to talk with David Wilder. He is the spokesperson for the oldest Jewish community in the history of the world. It's Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, and I know in Georgia they pronounce it Hebron, but the Hebrew B has a V sound. Hebron is the location. It, as I said, dates all the way back to the time of Abraham when he established it as a Jewish community. A great biblical history, but its presence is somewhat, well, I would guess, confusing as far as the Israeli people are concerned, but it is a conflict as well, because what has happened is there is a national emergency. Three young men, they were students in a religious school, were kidnapped now just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But they do believe that it is Hamas, the Islamic fundamentalist organization located in the Gaza Strip in Israel, that have been the ones who have perpetrated this crime on these young men. David Wilder in Hebron is the man who can give us some more information about what did happen. Because, David, as I understand it, these three young men were in a school, a religious school. They refer to it, I believe, as a yeshiva there in Hebron. Is that correct?
Hi, Jimmy. Okay, first a couple of things. The kidnapping took place a week ago, actually, last Thursday night. And for the last week, Israeli security forces have been searching for them throughout Judea and Samaria, primarily in Hebron. One of the men is 19 years old, and he did study in the yeshiva here in Hebron, actually, just 2 minutes from where I'm speaking to you from my apartment. The other two men are actually youth. They're both 16 years old. They studied in a high school yeshiva in Gush Etzion, which is about 20 minutes from here, about halfway between Hebron and Jerusalem. They were standing at a near a bus stop at a hitching post where people usually hitch rides. This is very common here in Israel. We don't know exactly what happened, whether they got into this car voluntarily. They may have thought that the drivers were Jewish. They may have had yarmulkes on their heads. But one way or another, they were found themselves being kidnapped. And there's been tremendous activity throughout the country to try to find them.
Well, let's talk just a moment. Give me a little bit of a background, if you will. We have both of us used the phrase yeshiva. Now, please, David, if you will, tell us what a yeshiva is. Many people listening to the broadcast may not understand what actually does take place at a yeshiva.
Yeshiva is a Torah study organization, or let's say a school as such. People study there. In high school yeshivas, there are men that study both secular studies, be that mathematics and science, and here they would study English and other such subjects, but they also study Torah. They study the written law, the five books of Moses. They study the prophets. They study the writings, and they also study the oral law, which we call Gemara, or probably better known as Talmud. And they have very, very long days. The men studied here in Hebron would start studying 7, 8 o'clock in the morning and run through 11, 12 o'clock at night. At this particular yeshiva here in Hebron, it's post-high school, so they don't have any secular studies there. And they study Torah all day and for a good part of the night, too.
Now, these young men, and there has been some debate as to whether students in the yeshiva should serve in the Israeli Defense Force. I don't want to get into that debate. But mostly they are not militants. Some of them don't even serve in the military in Israel. So these weren't a threat to Hamas or any part of the Islamic element there in the Palestinian areas, would they have been?
Of course not. The two young men were 16 years old. They were not even yet eligible for military service. The 19-year-old here in the yeshiva in Hebron, most of the men here do serve in the military, but they serve following their Torah studies, which can be anywhere from 1 year to 5 or 6 years. These men were all civilians. They were picked up on the road and abducted, and we're very, very concerned about them. Of course, our enemy does see them as, and they've labeled them as Zionist soldiers as such. They consider anybody who lives in the State of Israel to be a soldier, especially those of us who live here in Judea and Samaria. but these people were civilians, and they threatened no one.
Do you think they were targeted? And you said it just a moment ago that those who live there in Judea and Samaria, which the Palestinians and others refer to as occupied territories, they're not. They're what God's word says is Judea and Samaria. But were they targeted because they were in that area and because they were Orthodox, they were religious?
Well, it's clear that they were targeted in Judea. Whether or not they were apprehended or abducted because they were religious or not, probably. The kidnappers, the abductors, the terrorists who committed this terrible terrorist crime saw them, realized what they were, who they were, what they symbolized, and they just took them, and we're praying for their safe recovery.
I know in the past we've reported about some of the soldiers in the Israeli Defense Force being kidnapped and held for ransom or held to be able to bargain for the release of some of the Palestinian prisoners. But is this the first time teenage boys have been abducted or kidnapped, maybe for that same purpose?
Yeah, there's never been a terror attack as this, three people at one time. There have been soldiers that were abducted, but civilians being picked up like this has never happened before. There are always threats. We've heard of threats about such activities. We know that the security forces have managed to foil such attempts in the past, picking up terrorist groups, terrorist rings that had intended on doing such, but this is the first time that this has actually been perpetrated, and people are very upset about it.
I know, David, that I've seen reports of mayors in different cities across the world standing with Israel on this national emergency, other world leaders coming in to some way to try to help and assist in the recovery of these young men, or at least saying that they are supporting with prayers and with whatever they could do from where they are. This thing has become somewhat international, and it's a national emergency as far as Israel. I mean, they don't allow something like this to happen. Even the prime minister weighing heavy on trying to get these three young men back, is he not?
Yeah, earlier today there was actually a meeting between the prime minister and the parents of these three young men. They've also met with the defense minister, with the president of the State of Israel. This is seen as not only is this an attack on three young men and on three families, but it's an attack on the State of Israel. In order for people to get around here, especially through Judea and Samaria, where the public transportation isn't great, you don't have buses running all of the time. You can have to wait an hour or 2 hours for a bus. We don't have train service or anything like that. So for people to get around, they have to hitch rides. My kids do, and everybody does, adults as well as youth. And attacking people like this, kidnapping people when they're trying to get, especially three young men who were trying to get home, it was 10:30 at night when they were abducted, is seen as a threat to the entire country, and it seems to touch everybody. Therefore, there's been a tremendous amount of support to try to get these guys back.
David Wilder, spokesperson for the Jewish community in Hebron, where the incident of the kidnapping of three young men, two of them only 16 years of age, is a national emergency in Israel and becoming international in its scope. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. Appreciate it. We're praying for the families and for the three young men to be recovered, and we thank you for helping us understand the situation.
Thanks, Jimmy. We're all praying together. Shalom, shalom.